peace. At least that's what it seems like on the surface. We can stand here tonight and think about that silent night nearly 2,000 years ago and conjure up images that reflect tranquility and peacefulness on the hillsides of that little town of Bethlehem. And to a degree, that was true. There was peace and quiet, tranquility. The bleating of a sheep here and there, the lowing of a cow once in a while, maybe even the barking of a dog in the background, echoing through the hillsides. But generally, it seemed peaceful and quiet. No tension. Unlike sometimes our lives, conflict, tension, stress. We can sing a song like Silent Night, which we'll sing in a few moments, and wonder as we're singing it, yeah, Silent Night, all right. Take a look at my life. People wanting a piece of me, and calendars filled, and deadlines to meet, and misunderstandings. Sometimes we can sing Silent Night and really stand as we sing it with a sense of unresolved tension even in our own lives as we sing about that quiet evening 2,000 years ago. Well, I want to suggest to you something. It wasn't such a quiet evening as it seems. Jesus, many think, was born in peace and tranquility. I would suggest that's hardly the case. He was born in a stable, and he was laid in a manger with animals who were being fed, who were being housed. The shepherds, well, they came, but really they were an interruption. You know, what mother wants strangers bursting into the place right after she's given birth? Nobody wants that. When he was two, his parents had to run for his life out of Bethlehem. And after the danger was past, they, sometime later, several months later, maybe even a year or two later, they returned back to Nazareth, which at this point was a Roman army town where the streets echoed with the sounds of marching feet, pounding hooves, groaning wagon wheels, the curses of soldiers, the laughter of camp followers, the shrieks and cries of those being crucified for breaking the Roman law. You know, that's where Jesus grew up. In Nazareth. Where Roman power was everywhere to be seen. Where crucifixion was anything but rare. Like you and me, he knew about Silent Night. Unresolved. Not so peaceful. Not so tranquil. But what about Mary, who treasured that first silent night in her heart? What about the silent night following the cross? You know, there was another silent night for Jesus. It was a different night. Many years later, it was the one in the garden when the disciples slept in the quiet, peaceful tranquility of that night while Jesus wept. That night, Jesus cried for the cup to be removed, but he submitted to his Father. For his followers that silent night, it was really a horrible night. A night It was unresolved as was the cross to come. To them, when Jesus said, "It is finished," that meant only that his life was over and their crowns were gone. Not that their eternal future was even assured. After all, their leader has been crucified. Mary pondered these things in her heart that night, but for many people it was a sobbing night. It wasn't just a silent, peaceful night. It was a night of heartbreak and horror. And how could she make any sense of the reports about a resurrection? They couldn't possibly be true. Yet they were. That's when silent night unresolved, the night that we celebrate today, this evening, and tomorrow, became silent night resolved, even as it does for us. You know, we live with life unresolved. We live in tension. But we live with the melody of God's presence that conflicts with the clashing sounds of difficult marriages and stressful careers. That's when our silent nights can become sobbing nights as well. But the resurrection resolves those nights, doesn't it? Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we think and reflect upon the silent nights of December 25th. But we do it with hope because of the silent night before Easter, when Jesus Christ willingly submitted to the plan to fulfill for all ages the plan of salvation, that we might trust Him as our Savior, that we would turn to Him in hope, not just as a Christ child born in a manger, but as the Savior who died on a cross and who was resurrected from the dead. Two silent nights, one unresolved, one that on the surface looks nice and tranquil and peaceful, but underneath was full of tension and pain to come. And yet another silent night, 33 years later, when Jesus on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours." And that night, arrested, unjustly condemned, the following day taken to a cross. Not just to die as a martyr, not just to die as a man, but to die as the God-man. Became a sacrifice for your sin and mine. Do you know what happened that day? I know it's not Easter, but you can't think about Christmas without talking about Easter, because they're so intimately connected together. And when Jesus burst forth from that tomb 3 days later, what he said to you and me was this: anyone who is willing to place their faith in me, anyone who is willing to trust me to deal with their unresolved sin, will have life eternal. And so this night, this silent night, Jesus wants to remind you of another night and another morning when he burst from the tomb, indicating to you and me that he can provide life everlasting. So tonight, as we near the end of our service, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're sitting here tonight and you're saying to yourself, "I've never done that. I know that I have sinned. I know that I am not right with God. And I know that Jesus is the only way that can be resolved. I can't work it off. I wish you could. I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you, just work it off and God will put his stamp of approval on you and say, that a boy, that a girl, you did enough." It doesn't work that way. When Adam was condemned, we were all condemned. And yet God in his graciousness provided a way of salvation. And that salvation began with the birth of the Christ child, who grew, who took on the responsibility of fulfilling the plan and mandate of salvation. And when he died for you as well as me. And when he died, he took my sin and nailed it on that cross. And he promised me salvation. But I have to look in faith. I have to look in faith and believe that Jesus is the only access to eternal life. Will you do that tonight? Will you trust him this evening? I can't think of a better testimony you would have than to be able to say to people, it was on Christmas Eve night that I recognized my need for Jesus Christ and trusted him as my Savior. Silent night. One unresolved. The other completely fulfilled. Let me invite you to pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for the salvation that you supplied in Jesus. If someone is here tonight who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, they've never dealt with their sin, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict and bring them to the saving knowledge. As they leave tonight, they can know in their heart of hearts that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that they've given him their confession, and that they've received in Christ salvation. Thank you, Father, for saving us from our sin in the person of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.